today, the inflation bazooka wasn't. A market update for the 11th of December 2021. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, markets in the US had a strong end to the week as investors reacted to the fact that November's consumer price gains met expectations, and they continue to hope that it will ease back, so allowing the Federal Reserve to stop thoughts of accelerating its tapering and bringing forward the timing of a rate hike. We'll see. But looking to next year, supply chain challenges will continue to drive up prices in the near term, but are expected to fade as Americans shift towards more normal consumption patterns, they think. But other factors, like labor constraints and housing costs, may actually keep inflation elevated to that extent. Maybe the markets are wrong. And elsewhere, Omicron concerns are rising again after a study found that it is 4.2 times more transmissible than the Delta variant in its early stages. Ultimately, the issue from a health perspective is that even if Omicron does prove to be less severe, which the initial indications so far have pointed to, a rise in transmissibility could offset that, according to Deutsche Bank strategists. That could mean that more people are going to end up in hospital, even if a lower proportion of them are severely affected, they said. Now back to the CPI report from the Labour Department, which showed consumer prices surging last month to a 6.8% annual growth rate. That's the highest reading in more than 39 years. And while it was distorted to a degree by upheavals in prices a year ago due to the pandemic, the base effect, the core rate, which strips out more volatile food and energy prices, also hit a 30-year high of 4.9%. The headline rate rose by 0.8% on the month, and the core rate by 0.5%, both chunky increases that suggest that companies are still able to pass on higher costs to their customers more or less at will. Airfares and hotel room rates came roaring back, said Grant Thornton chief economist Diane Swonk. This reflects the surge in holiday travel. And she also pointed to the relative lack of Black Friday discounts this year, which hit home in annual price comparisons with last year's holiday season. Apparel retailers in particular had warned in their third quarter numbers that they were suffering shortages of products due to long factory closures in Asia in the summer because of COVID-19. Rising prices for necessities are adding up for Americans. Food at home rose 6.4% from a year ago. That's the most since December 2008. Gasoline climbed 6.1% from the prior month, matching the October rise. And rent of primary residence and owner's equivalent rent both increased 0.4% from October. Wages have risen substantially in recent months for some, but not as fast as consumer prices. Inflation-adjusted hourly earnings fell 1.9% in November from a year earlier. That's the biggest drop in 6 months, according to separate data out on Friday also. The data underscores how a perfect storm of snarled supply chains, a rebounding economy, robust consumer demand and labour constraints has driven up prices across the economy. While first concentrated in a handful of categories associated with the economy's reopening, inflation has since broadened out to other categories. Ian Shepherdson, chief economist with Pantheon Macroeconomics, said in a note to clients that while headline inflation may have peaked, wholesale gasoline prices are down some 15% from the October peaks, but he warned that core inflation has yet to rise further and may hit 7% by February. And he pointed to a succession of solid increases in rents that are pushing the shelter part of the price index higher. There was a lot of anticipation. We were going to see a big number, said Tim Gritsky, senior portfolio strategist at Inverness Council in New York. I don't think the market is surprised. Persistent inflation due to ongoing supply chain challenges suggests the US Federal Reserve could very well start tightening its accommodative monetary stance sooner than some have hoped Clearly, it's being driven primarily by supply chain issues, he added. But it appears these issues could be easing, and over time, we should see them moderate, and that should take the foot off the inflation accelerator. In fact, a Reuters poll of economists sees the central bank hiking key interest rates from near zero to 0.25% to 0.5% in the third quarter of next year, followed by another in the fourth quarter. And of course, the Fed is expected to convene next week for its two-day monetary policy meeting, which market participants will be scrutinising for any clues regarding those rate increases, along with the pace at which it will taper its bond purchases. Elevated inflation is already priced into the market, said Peter Cardillo, chief market economist at Spartan Capital Securities in New York. But this does mean we're probably going to be faced by a more hawkish Fed, and a change in monetary policy is likely to happen in the latter part of the second quarter of 2022. The Consumer Price Index climbed that 6.8% from November 2020, according to the Labour Department data. The median forecast in the Bloomberg survey of economists called for a 6.8% annual gain, so they were spot on. We expect the path for inflation over the next year is decisively lower, said LPL financial asset allocation strategist Barry Gilbert. But we may still push higher for the next 1 to 3 months. We believe the stock markets will continue to rise, said Chris Zaccarelli, chief investment officer for Independent Advisor Alliance, because consumer spending remains strong and corporate profits for now are continuing to rise. But Zaccarelli also said increased volatility is likely over the next 6 to 12 months as inflation, interest rates and Fed policy are all going to be shifting much more rapidly than they have been in the past. President Joe Biden's approval ratings have sagged, increasing political pressure on the administration to act. While the White House has taken some steps, like creating a supply chain task force, inflationary pressures continue to mount, and rapid inflation will also likely impact the ultimate size and fate of Biden's Build Back Better bill. In fact, Biden issued a statement on Friday blaming the pandemic for the surge in inflation, and he pointed to gasoline prices being down from their recent peak and an easing in wholesale used car prices as positive signs. Republicans, however, have warned that Build Back Better would push inflation even higher, something that the Biden administration vigorously disputes. The S&P 500 reset its closing high at 4,712. So far this year, the index has risen 27.3%. The S&P 500 gained 0.95% to 4,712. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.6% to 35,970. And the Nasdaq Composite added 0.73% to 15,630. Former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers said that US policymakers, by allowing the economy to overheat, have likely cemented inflation rates of 4% or higher, way beyond their long-term target. We've put in motion for the first time in 40 years excessive inflation caused by overheating the economy, Summers said. We're going to see entrenched inflation way above 2%, perhaps to the 4% range or even higher. The yield on the US 10-year note was down 0.47% to 1.482, while the 2-year was down 1.15% to 0.6544. Inflation risk is likely to lead the Fed to accelerate the taper at next month's policy meeting, giving them the option to hike as soon as March 2022, TD Securities said. While we don't expect the Fed to take the option to hike, markets are likely to remain nervous, and we look to 2022 pricing to remain elevated. The market is pricing the first hike in May 2022 and over 40% chance of a hike by March. Consumer staples led all 11 of the S&P 500's industry sectors higher, and the VIX tumbled 13% to drop to 1869. The pan-European Stoxx 600 slipped 0.3%, down for the third straight session on worries that measures to curb the spread of the Omicron coronavirus variant could hit economic recovery. But a strong two-day gain at the beginning of the week saw the index post its best weekly gain since March, up 2.8%. Gold and oil edged higher. Gold was up 0.37% to 1,783 US, but still below that magic 1,800. Gold gained on Friday as its safe haven appeal was boosted by elevated US consumer prices, which also cooled some bets for aggressive interest rate hikes, since the jump in inflation was not as big as expected. WT oil rose 1.42% to $71.95. The spot price of iron ore edged lower to $106.49, down 0.26%. Oil prices were on track for their biggest weekly gain since late August, with market sentiment buoyed by easing concerns over Omicron's impact on global economic growth and fuel demand. And even coffee was off. The most active March Arabica contract dropped 1.79% to 274, retracing from a decade high reached on Monday and marking the first weekly decline since October the 22nd. Those futures ended down 4.4% for the week, bringing this year's gain to 81%. Shipments from top exporter Brazil declined 37% in November from a year earlier, while second-ranked Colombia also saw exports and output tumble. The Fed's plan to taper bond purchases, likely to be announced next week when policymakers meet, follows in line with what the US Central Bank has indicated, said the managing director of investment strategy at Key Private Bank. The Fed's been pretty transparent, which is why you're seeing a positive move in the stock market today and not a lot of reaction in the bond market, adding he expects 2 or 3 interest rate hikes next year. We believe the market can handle rate increases as long as they're transparent and they're at the right pace, he said. The Forex market was positioned for a higher CPI reading, leading to a weaker dollar, said Greg Anderson, global head of foreign exchange strategy at BMO Capital Markets. The foreign exchange market has been extremely long US dollars for several months, so with this number coming in benign, we're almost out of events that could push the dollar materially higher before the end of the year, he said. The dollar index fell 0.23% to 96.05, while the euro US dollar was up 0.18% to 1.1312. But in other news, hedge fund short sellers are under renewed scrutiny, and this time it's by the US government, not Wall Street bets. The Justice Department has launched an expansive criminal investigation into short selling by hedge funds and research firms, scrutinizing them symbiotic relationships and hunting for signs that they improperly coordinate trades or broke other laws to profit. The scope is wide-ranging. Federal investigators are examining trading in at least several dozen stocks, including well-known short targets such as Luckin Coffee and Bank of California. It's not clear which firms, if any, may emerge as targets of the probe, and the investigation opens a new front in an already treacherous era of short sellers clobbered by the pandemic and cooked by retail traders. Over in London, the UK's FTSE and mid-cap indices slipped for a third straight session on Friday after data pointed to stalling economic growth in Britain, even before the emergence of the Omicron coronavirus variant, but ended their second week in the black. The FTSE index eased 0.4% to 7,291, pressurised by the healthcare sector after heavyweight drug maker AstraZeneca fell 2% after Berenberg cut its price target on the stock. The main index clocked its biggest weekly gain in 8 months, boosted by a strong recovery in mining stocks. We're seeing a flight to safety with defensive names like British American Tobacco on the front foot, said Justin McQueen, market strategist at Daily FX. The sort of news around Omicron and the government announcing its Plan B and suggestions around Plan C does put the final nail in the coffin for a rate rise next week. Data showing Britain's economy grew by a weaker than expected 0.1% in October, leaving it 0.5% smaller than it was in February 2020, just before the country went into its first COVID-19 lockdown. The big drop in people visiting pubs, bars and restaurants doesn't bode well for the idea that we're all rediscovering our freedoms post-lockdown. Perhaps this catalyst has now played out and people are yearning for the warmth of their home during the autumn and winter instead, said Russ Mould, investment manager at AJ Bell. The domestically focused mid-cap index fell 0.9% after Ashmore Group dropped 2.7% because Goldman Sachs downgraded the asset manager to neutral. The number further raised doubts about a December rate cut after Prime Minister Boris Johnson this week announced new coronavirus guidelines ordering people to work from home wear masks in public places, and use vaccine passes for big public events. Capping losses on the main index, miners gained 0.7%, tracking copper prices, and defensive stocks such as consumer staples, which tend to be less sensitive to the economic climate, also rose. British American Tobacco gained nearly 2.5% after a Wall Street Journal report said the US Senate was dropping a proposal to impose higher taxes on vaping, oral nicotine, and other NGPs. And members of Parliament in the UK have called on the Financial Conduct Authority to limit the use of the word invest, an investment by cryptocurrency firms, for promotional purposes. According to a Thursday report in The Times, MPs at the Treasury Select Committee told FCA Chief Nicole Rathy that the use of the phrase "your investment" often portrays that these are on par with a FTSE 100 company or unit trust, thus giving the wrong impression about the types of investment. Harriet Baldwin, Conservative MP for West Worcestershire, took special exception to FCA's supposed inability to stop fraudulent promotions and went on to accuse them of helping criminals. Your website actually publishes a list of unregistered crypto asset businesses for anti-money laundering purposes. It's meant to be helpful, but it could also be helpful to someone who just wants to launder money. Rathy assured that the regulatory body is currently looking into the matter and also expects new powers in terms of regulating crypto advertisements. However, unless those new powers come into practice, there isn't much that the chief regulatory body can do. "We've had a discussion about what the wording should be," said the FCA chief. And earlier, the FCA chairman, Charles Randall, had expressed concern over the wording of the Flocky Inu advertisement on London buses, but admitted nothing much can be done beyond cautionary warnings for consumers. The FCA chief also said that the agency is considering dismissing any requests for compensation under the Financial Services Compensation Scheme if people lose money in cryptocurrencies. "Personally, I would suggest we simply say that anything crypto-related should not be entitled to compensation, so that consumers are clear about that when they're investing." In July 2021, the Advertising Standards Authority in the UK issued a red alert against deceptive crypto advertising and warned consumers to be wary of such ads. Apart from the UK, India is another country where authorities have had to get involved over the lack of disclaimers in crypto advertisements. The Delhi High Court recently issued a notice to bring standardised disclaimers for crypto advertisements. Bitcoin is currently down 0.89%, having staged a bit of a lift during the week from its earlier slide. Now, over in Hong Kong, shares in China Evergrande Group lost 1.67% after Fitch downgraded it to restricted default status. So it's sitting at 177. As China continues what is effectively a managed default, it's also trying to keep local investors and property buyers in the game. So contagion was limited, with the Hong Kong stocks off 1.07% on the Hang Seng to 23,995. Fitch Ratings cut Evergrande to restricted default after the developer failed to make two coupon payments by the end of a grace period on Monday, and Kaiser, which failed to repay a $400 million bond that matured on Tuesday, also got the same label from Fitch. But China's Shanghai Composite was down just 0.18% to 3,666. And meanwhile, the People's Bank of China raised its foreign currency reserve requirement ratio for the second time in 2021 after the yuan climbed to the highest since 2018, prompting the offshore yuan to decline the most since July 2021. The Jewelry World Container Index was up 2.3% in the week. That's 170% higher than a year ago. And the average composite index of the WCI assessed by Jewelry for year-to-date is $7,484 per 40-foot container, which is $4,745 higher than the five-year average of $2,739. And freight rates from Shanghai to Los Angeles surged 5%, and spot rates from Shanghai to New York and Shanghai to Genoa grew 4% and 3%, respectively. Inflation transitoring? Now, back here in Australia, the share market dipped on Friday as renewed concerns over the economic impact of the Omicron strain dented appetite for risk assets ahead of the key US inflation data and a busy central bank schedule next week. The ASX 200 edged 0.4% lower, or 31 points, to 7,353, but ended the week 1.5% higher, ending four consecutive weeks of losses. The index has gained more than 11% so far this year. Investors are worried about COVID-19 restrictions in parts of the world and if that could derail the global recovery. And markets closed before the US November Consumer Price Index report was released, so expect a rise in response on Monday. Mining shares eased after iron ore prices softened. BHP edged 0.6% lower to $39.96. Fortescue Metals fell 0.8% to $18.10 after the miner said its CEO, Elizabeth Gaines, will step down to become Fortescue's global green hydrogen ambassador. Rio Tinto ended flat at $95.83, finding support from Morgan Stanley's upgrade to an overweight rating and $110.50 share price target. The broker said negative sentiment around iron ore prices, rising capex and operating setbacks were factored into its $96.15 share price. Shares at Whitehaven Coal weakened by 4% to $2.40 and Beach Energy dropped 1.7% to $1.19 as investors worried about China's property sector after Fitch said Evergrande had defaulted on its debt. Technology stocks tracked losses on the Nasdaq, with Afterpay plunging 4.4% to $95.89. The payment sector is facing more intensive regulation under plans announced by Treasurer Josh Frydenberg earlier in the week. Banks were down on the day, with CBA down 0.26% to $97.90, ANZ down 0.51% to $27.47 after another run-in with ASIC. NAB was down 0.21% to $28.63, and Westpac was down 0.81% to $20.85. Among the winners of the session were Iluka Resources, whose shares jumped 7.3% to $9.43, and NIB also advanced up 4.9% to $7.10. While the RBA's Monetary Policy Committee does not meet again until February after its traditional summer break, next week brings key policy meetings of the US Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, and the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan. And it will be very, very interesting to see what they say about inflation and the impacts of Omicron. But I think we can be pretty sure that markets will remain volatile for some time yet, and there is still a lack of certainty of potential future direction. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.